and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark Marble.
I'm Chad Bokelman.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 614.
The Starbreaker Supremacy, Part 2.
We'll just see how supreme it is.
Yeah, we will. We will, very much so. As I was saying to Chad before we started, I'm going to try to do a Kurtzkian-like overview summary of this, because there is a lot to discuss. How we feel about it's another story, but there is certainly a lot to discuss, so we just talk about, you know, hit the highlights here. So we begin on this planet Faringal, which is about to be destroyed, that we get the summary of essentially what Starbreaker has done and what his master plan was all along. And what really is going on here is that his power battery on the Desolate Stone is absorbing all the emotional spectrum energy, which of course is probably easier now because of all the power batteries that were created on Oa and brought back to life at the end of last issue. So all the emotion in the galaxy, which is non-existent now, is all being funneled into their power battery, which gives them immense power through their rings tied to that battery. At the same time, it wipes out any, because there's no emotion, there's no will, there's no resistance, there's no desire to interfere and get in the way. So basically, Starbreaker and his brethren are just going to be able to roll through the universe, just eating suns and destroying universe, destroying planets and solar systems at their will and rule everything. And that's what their master plan is all along. And the beginning of this issue just kind of summarizes that. We go to Oa, where John Stewart is talked to by his ring, as in Shirley Stewart, and John, you know, the ring is yelling to John, like, listen to your mother. And John says, well, you're really not my mother. You're just kind of like the manifestation of like all my guilt and remorse and all in pain. And she kind of rejects that, which we will talk about. We have Aya and Jadestone, who are on all these monitors looking throughout the universe. And it's interesting because all the two beings here are three when you count the AI, John. The AI from John Stewart's ring, they're the non-emotional beings are the ones who are first figuring out not only what's going on here and what has to be done potentially to solve it. We get little monitors showing stuff going on all throughout the universe, including the ultimate example of what's going on when it comes to nobody caring enough to do anything. You have the Justice League and company walking past a poor cat stuck in a tree, and nobody gives a shit to even try to help it. The Joker with his gun with bang, showing no emotion whatsoever. And after an internal discussion between the three of them about, even though they really don't have emotion and what's real and what's not real, they come up with the idea that the only way to kind of like motivate all the Lanterns to action is like we have to reason with them now, because you certainly can't appeal to their emotion. So they gather Hal, which is pretty easy to do. Guy is being, even though he has no emotion, Guy's being a little resistant. So for whatever reason, Aya thinks it's a good idea to lay him out. So they all get gathered together on the Interceptor. And this is where John Stewart's ring talks about stuff related to the Source Wall and how something related to how John learned, like, way back in Emerald Knight, that the belief is that the entities are still alive. They're trapped behind the Source Wall, but they're still alive. Joe says, well, you know, Kyle, use the entities to replenish the Source Wall, right? And then Kyle says, well, that's really not right. And now that I have no connection to the emotional spectrum at all, now my memories have come back, and I remember that, you know, it was the entities that really helped me get back through the Source Wall, and they wanted me to help them find a way to escape and come back to our reality. We get a little bit of talk about, oh, this is a... we get some acknowledgement that, hey, you know, Carol's like, oh, this must be how I saw the Predator, because he wasn't really there. And Sinestro, for some reason, believing this is why I manifested rage, and the concept is, well, the entities were reaching out as best they could, trying to effect change from the wall, to try and contact everybody who was connected in some way to the entities in the past. So we'll talk about that. So their plan is to go back to the source wall, get into the source wall, and free the entities. On the desolate stone, they're kind of like basking in the glow of their victory, but Starbreaker's notified that the Green Lantern Corps is on the move. On their way to the source wall, that's where they're going. Of course, Starbreaker conveniently hides in the source wall. See, I'm doing good, Chad. I'm doing real good. I'm avoiding these trigger points. So
except that was just a trigger point.
That was a trigger point, but I'm still not. I'm not dictating opinion on this. I'm just saying. I'm pointing out how good I've been.
So, dig deep, Marble.
I'm digging deep. So the Interceptor starts heading towards the source wall, and everybody's concerned, Jadestone especially, that they're going to crash and destroy themselves. The AI in John Stewart's ring says, "No, just keep going forward. We're going to be okay." They punch into the source wall. And everybody, first they think they're dead, and they don't. And they say, no, you're alive, which is Parallax talking to them. Lanterns, we've been waiting for you. And we see all the entities of the core emotional spectrum. We don't see the white entity, but we see all the six entities, or the seven entities of the ones we're used to. And that's it. Next issue is harnessing the entities, which will be in Green Lantern 26. Let's go back to the intro page.
Oh, creative team, yeah.
Yeah, the creative team. On page, this is... not surprisingly here, that this is Starbreaker Supremacy Part 2. Morgan Hampton, Jeremy Adams, writer, artist Fernando Pissarro, and Claire Albert, colorist Arif Prianto. God, these fonts are so small sometimes. A letter of Dave Sharp, cover artist Pissarro, Albert Prianto, Ryan Gonzalez, Sergio Cuna, Natasha Bustos, variant covers, Jillian Grant, assistant editor, Kathleen Wineski, editor, see, obvious, and Paul Kaminsky, group editor. So
I'm going to pick a weird place to start. Is trauma an emotion? Because Kyle, like, you know, Shirley through the ring, if let's just call her Shirley because it's
and don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. But it's funny. Why not? But
Kyle, maybe I'll find that clip.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
But she's talking about it, and Kyle's talking about the events of Lights Out. Imbued with immense power as the White Lantern, I pulled Relic and the emotional entities into the source wall. Not long after, I was able to escape, but couldn't remember what had happened, what really happened. But now, with the connection to the emotional spectrum severed, it's also clear the entities use their power to send me through to find a way to break them out of the source wall. So... He didn't remember because of some sort of trauma. So, like, I understand the complexities of what can be considered based on emotional impact. And you know, trauma could be one of those things. But the fact that he didn't remember, like, is memory somehow connected to it? That's it's a small nitpick, so I figured I'd start with one of the smaller ones.
I'll give you credit, Chad. I'll give you credit there. It's like, because there's so many things to go into. Yeah. I don't think trauma in itself, I don't think it's necessarily an emotion. But I think, I don't know, it's... Maybe it was like almost in case of emergency, break glass kind of thing, where when the spectrum was still relatively okay... That the need to really remember that the entities wanted them to, hey, oh, by the way, get us the F out of here at some point. Maybe that wasn't as pressing, but then as things started to crumble, that maybe that's the reason why some of these the vagueness of this started coming back, some vague memories of it. And then once all the emotion was stripped from him, then it's just like, oh, this was like the mental block. The spectrum itself was the mental block. It was I think it's kind of weird anyway. The thing that you will give credit for in this is, at least of all the problems in this issue, the fact that the entities are actually still alive and on the other side of the source wall, despite the fact that it's a source wall, but it has been destroyed and rebuilt since this happened. There we go. Now I'm back on track. That despite that, that's one of the most believable parts of all this. There's so many things in it that we get in this. Speaking of Relic, by the way, shouldn't Relic still be at the Source Wall? Since the last time we ever saw Relic, he was still exploring the Source Wall. Well, we haven't seen Relic since he helped Hal get Black Hand into the Source Wall, I believe.
I don't remember.
Because Relic...
I don't remember what happened to Relic.
Because Relic was in the Source Wall. He came out in God's Head when everybody else was freed from the Source Wall.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was exploring the Source Wall, and he helped Hal trap Black Hand when Black Hand got freed from the Source Wall, but then still had the ability to touch shit and basically turn into Source Wall material. That's the last time I believe we've seen Relic. I'm trying to remember what issue that was. I don't even know. I'm trying to remember if that was even Hal in the core, because I don't think it was, because I'm pretty sure Hal had the gauntlet at the time, had Chrono's gauntlet. But I'm pretty sure that's the last time we've seen Relic, who's way overdue. And you would think this event would be really good for Relic to come back for multiple reasons related to the emotional spectrum. Because you'd think he would kind of be happy that all the emotions are gone. Well, I mean?
Honestly, I didn't remember he was alive. Obviously, I remember the thing with the entities, but I didn't remember that Relic was alive.
Yeah, but during the break or when you're talking later on, I'll try to look up to see when exactly was the last appearance of Relic. But yeah, last time I believe we saw him was he and his machines were exploring the Source Wall, and Hal went to him looking for help, and then Black Hand showed up, and they had to grudgingly work together to stop Black Hand. And even though as soon as they were done, Relic wanted to take Hal's power away, but Hal was already gone. It's like, oh.
Well, speaking of characters and concepts that have been gone a while and are suddenly thrust back into our into our narrative, we'll start with the easy one, Jade Stone.
Well, that's not even the easy one. You tease. Green Lantern prick tease. But you're right. He's been gone. He's been absent from a story plot point for a while now since they were moving, I think, the green battery from Earth to Oa or whatever.
Yeah, he's just been sitting there on Oa, and now only because of his story, he's relevant to the story, does he appear again, which I suppose is fine in a book where there's already too many characters, so that's why I'm giving it a pass. But, like, I kind of like the idea of, instead of just because a character's relevant, do we bring them into a story, of in a book like Core, and that's the thing that Tomasi and Gleason did so well, and real quick tangent on that, by the way, everybody talks about, like, people looking back on the golden age of Green Lantern in terms of Geoff Johns and saying, oh, you're just a Geoff Johns fan. Nothing can ever beat Geoff Johns. Realistically, I think I idolize the Tomasi Gleason era of GLC in terms of an idealized version of how it should be written or approached, more than I idealize the Geoff Johns stuff. It doesn't mean I like it more or less. It just means Core balanced things so well under Tomasi and Gleason. And even when the main story of the given arc they were telling was focusing on a different set of characters for that new arc, they kept the other characters in the background. Brought them in and for just like a side moment for one issue in the arc or something to that effect. I don't like it when we have like a mass cast book like this and characters just disappear and reappear into the narrative as they are or are not needed. I like kind of keeping them around and kind of keeping them in your mind's eye as part of this world, as opposed to just having them straight up disappear and only reappear when it's convenient and relevant to the story.
Speaking of that, at least Jade Stone was actually acknowledged and had a role in the book.
That's true.
As opposed to the AI Shirley Stewart Green Lantern ring, which we've been talking about ever since the end of War Journal, that Jeremy Adams never, ever even effing acknowledged. That's changed the John Stewart status quo, which arguably was the biggest change to his status quo coming out of War Journal.
And
that in the Olgrin ring, which was so powerful, I got to keep it with me so nobody can take it until Kilowog took it from him in 2 seconds. That was a pretty important change to the John Stewart status quo, which was never even acknowledged, I think, for 12 damn issues. And then it gets dropped into this book like it's matter of fact. Like people really should know what's going on here. I mean, I know you could, there's a the little conversation between him and the ring might bring, but if you were in reading War Journal, you're going to be completely lost about that. Because like, what the hell is this? And why the hell? This is not something that should have been acknowledged in continuity in this book now for the first time. It shouldn't have been.
That's Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I fully agree with you. I will say if I'm playing devil's advocate, the explanation could be that because of everything John mentions at the beginning of the book and, you know, his what does he say? Ring ice was imbued. It was a line. Nobody challenged me out of fear of the truth. There's no reason to pretend you're anything more than my pain and regret made manifest. Maybe he was suppressing her so he didn't have to deal with that. That's the only thing I could think of. Like in
except even in that even in that explanation, they're kind of acknowledging that people know about it.
Yeah.
But we only know about it because we read the other book. Nobody who has read this book, John Stewart in this book, would know about it because it was never acknowledged. It was never addressed. Not at all. So that's not the biggest problem in this book. But it's a problem because it's a pattern, like you said, about, hey, you know, we won't even touch upon this character because we don't have any plans for it, yet. But when we do, then we're just going to drop it in. It's going to be, oh, like it's always been there. And, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. It does. I mean, and the ring talks about stuff the ring shouldn't know. Because John Stewart didn't get this ring until War Journal. This isn't the ring John Stewart had at any time during Emerald Knight or during any of the stuff in the Thorn Run. This is a ring he got in during War Journal, which was just what? It was a completely dead ring from one of the, whatever the hell they were, Shadow Lanterns, whatever the hell they were. It's not the only reason he got that ring, because the connection it had to the power battery was completely burned out once it got corrupted. Or its owner got corrupted, whatever it was. So, yeah, maybe theoretically John Stewart's knowledge could go into the ring or they're having a but they make it sound like...
Or he connected it to the central power battery,
battery might not know all that shit. That's all stuff that happened.
There's got to be like a data backup because they all access the same sort of... whether it was a connection to the Book of Oa or there was some sort of data backup or something, they've always had like this central database that all the lanterns can access through the ring. So,
well, yeah, but if this was during the Thorn Run, there was no technically there was no true Green Lantern central power battery when that stuff was going on. It was destroyed. Yeah. Either way, you can try to make it work. It's hard because that ring, and surely that ring was not with John Stewart when any of this stuff happened. And even if it was, some of this stuff with the entities, it's just all behind the scenes. It's like, yeah, that would make, maybe you can say, but there's no hint that ever happened. So you can go back and say what you want and kind of make it fit. It doesn't really work. It's even worse than giving, you know, best as ever, Joe, be the one talking about, but didn't Kyle put the entity? Joe shouldn't know shit about that. Is Joe the goddamn court historian now who spends all her time knowing the history of the court? She probably does because she can do everything. But she's been a court member for like 5 minutes and that shit, arguably, not. You can make a case not everybody would know all the specifics of what Kyle did anyway. But if they did, she would only know nobody would be casually bringing that up in conversation. You can explain anything you want if you want to. If you want to have disbelief and say, no, oh, yeah. But it's sloppy. It's just like, you know, they kind of acknowledge the Predator thing, which we talked about before. My initial impression when we saw Predator that he wasn't real in it either, but the way he was there and talked about things and he seemingly was physical, that changed that. But now we're kind of got an explanation on the surface that no, he really wasn't there. He was reaching out to Carol, but he wasn't really there. Okay, I can kind of buy that. I don't think it explains Sinestro channeling rage at all. Why the f*** would Sinestro channel rage? Again, why would that not be Atrocitus? But more importantly, let's look at the last page here. We all know Parallax shouldn't be there. Anybody who read the story knows Parallax shouldn't be there. we better get an explanation for why Parallax is there. Because if we don't, and I don't mean an explanation like six issues down the road. This is what I was alluding to in the last episode. If we get an explanation for why Parallax is there and why the white entity isn't there, right off the bat, in the next issue, then it's not a plot hole. It's not a continuity problem. If you pretend that, oh yeah, you don't acknowledge that this is a problem, then you roll the dice into that lampshading garbage again. That even if you do deal with it down the road, are you really dealing with it because you planned on doing it all along? Or are you dealing with it because now it's been brought to your attention as a friggin' plot hole and you have to acknowledge it, so you kind of acknowledge it in some half-assed way and just hope people forget it? Parallax shouldn't be there because he never went with the other entities to recharge the spectrum. He couldn't. Sinestro had him walled off. He was never there. But the white entity was there. We need an explanation for why one is there. The white entity would be real easy to explain in some way, shape, or form. I'm not even worried about that one as much. They need an explanation for why Parallax is there, and he better give it to us, or else that's a big problem.
Also, why does Ion look like a sort of sky eel from, like, Pandora in Avatar instead of, like, the space whale he kind of used to be?
Yeah, he has like a parasite-like face. The butcher looks like he's been shooting up more steroids than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but at least all of the others look like themselves. Ion looks so weird.
Yeah, Ion does look more like a snake than a whale. I will give you that.
Yeah.
And, of course, we barely see enough of Prozolite, but that's the whole point. He is kind of squishy as damn.
Oh, yeah, Prozolite has always been a squid-type thing.
Like so an amoeba, that's almost, kind of.
Yeah.
And the predator looks weird, but at least it looks like the predator, and it's, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's a dino type skeleton.
Yeah, thing. I mean, on the bright side, I mean, if you were looking to make sure that you were going to see all of them, and it's cool that they're all there. But, like I said, there's just stuff going on in here, and it's just a lot of stuff, and it's hard because, again, you just throw the stuff against the wall, and it's like, oh... The fact that, you know, especially the ring thing's a big problem because this is not acknowledged at all for like a year's worth of issues between multiple books and specials and things like that. And now all of a sudden this Shirley Stewart AI all of a sudden is taking this major role in driving the plot. And when you think about it, if you're dealing with reason in a way, wouldn't reason make people go, why is this one ring functioning? Which is another reason, another explanation. Why is this one ring really functioning to begin with, regardless of what John Stewart did to the AI? Why is the ring really functioning? And it also does answer the other question we've had for a long time, which was, hey, did John Stewart ever get one of the new rings? He seemingly did not, even though, again, the way this storytelling is going, we could get an explanation 5 issues from now. Oh, yeah, he did get one of those new rings, and then he transferred the essence that was in the Ring from War Journal into this ring. Who knows? Because that's the way the storytelling has been going. It's like we tell you things way after the fact, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense. But we'll tell you something after the fact so you can't say we didn't acknowledge it, even though it's way too late for anybody to care. I don't know. It was an interesting issue from a discussion perspective, but it kind of was maddening on many levels.
They'll ditch the Shirley Stewart stuff soon enough because it's a special ring. And as we all know, special rings cannot exist because Joe's is gone. Remember, they ditched that unceremoniously.
Yeah, that was dumb too.
Yeah. So
her ring was not, was it destroyed or was it just, they just swapped it out?
I think they just swapped it out
because like, she could always get it back. Yeah. That was a dumb one. That was a dumb one to swap out from the perspective that, you can make a case her ring should have worked independently anyway, because again, it was not reliant on a power battery to charge.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think it wouldn't be as susceptible to corruption and influence by somebody using AI in the rings via like the central power battery to control it, or sending massive communications out using. I don't know. It's I agree that tends to be what they do.
So. To reignite or refill the emotional reservoir, all that was required was for Kyle to get through the source wall to expend his energy to replenish it, but he needed the entities to get through the source wall. Is that what we're saying? Regardless of whether we agree with that or not, I'm literally asking, is that what we're saying?
Maybe it's like a... like a relay in race in swimming, that all you have to do is touch the other side.
I was thinking of it like when you blow out a candle and you can hold a light back to the smoke and it relights the wick.
That's not bad either. But I'm it's almost like the complete opposite of what people like to tell you, that it wasn't the journey, it was the destination. All they had to do was get there. And just but see, this is where I'm holding out. You could get an explanation that ultimately all that was really needed to now, the best thing to do, in all honesty, would be to completely wipe out the reservoir concept anyway, which was always dumb. That would be what they could do here, saying, oh, that was a misunderstanding all along. The reason why it was draining was for another reason. But they could very easily give us the explanation if they wanted to. You really only needed the white entity to go across and sacrifice himself, because he was the living embodiment of all the emotions in one. So he was able to reply, which actually would make sense when you think about it, because you would think there was always going to be a problem because Parallax never went with them. Either the yellow was never going to be fully recharged or recharged at all, or the fact that that every piece of the spectrum wasn't being replenished equally, that somehow the chickens were going to come home to roost because of that fact. Now, maybe you can hold out hope that maybe that'll be some partial explanation for why Parallax is now there, that he willingly went over because. But either way, you can make a case that's what I was alluding to. You can make a case why the white entity maybe isn't there now, and maybe he's the only one that bought the farm.
Well, it is called the life equation.
Yeah. But I don't know how much of any of this worked. They could also give us some half-assed thing that once, even though they didn't tie this into this, because they made it sound like almost from the minute the entities got in, the entities were planning on getting out somehow, and they kind of used Kyle as the herald. It's like, you got to get us out at some point. But you could also make a case once the source wall got destroyed and everything else, that somehow that negated the need for the entities to stay there, or maybe the entities knew they had to be there for a certain period of time. They had to be dormant for a certain period of time to recharge the spectrum. And then after that, they didn't have to be there anymore. So by the time Kyle was able to unscramble their message, it was pretty much a given that they would be ready to come home, and they would have done their duty. I don't know. Let's see how much of an explanation we get with that, because it is kind of important.
Yeah. Bottom line, guys, there is some stuff to be irritated with here, but we're only getting part of the explanation. We don't have the rest of it, so we're not about to go full hog until we actually let Jeremy do his thing. Because you can really only criticize what's on the page, not what he hasn't done yet. So we'll see. I do say this makes me want to read, because I remember I bought Starbreaker's Origin in the Justice League comics a while back. I didn't end up going back and reading the Starbreaker appearances like I wanted to. So this particular issue, in terms of Starbreaker and his brethren, and in terms of how they're functioning, how they're absorbing energy and power, the fact that they're destroying whole planets, that's interesting to me. And I want to double check on if he's had this level of power before. I'm pretty sure he has, just based on general research and stuff, but I wanted to see if it's been this intense before.
I can understand that.
Also, wasn't the pitch for Starbreaker essentially that he's like an emotional vampire?
Yeah.
So having a universe of no emotions, wouldn't that negatively impact him? Because there's nothing for him to feed on?
Well, except they make it clear that no living being out there in the universe is feeling emotion, but all the emotions are being channeled into their battery. So that's how they really are feeding off of it, because it's going into their rings. Cause they talk about that's what's supercharging them. That's based so that not only feeds them, but gives them more power. So then they can go out and they can do what they want to do easier. And not just because there's nobody who wants to resist them anymore, but just because physically they are pumped up on the purified emotional energy. That's my take. So Green Lantern number 46 was when Relic and Hal took on Black Hand. So that was before Hal Jordan in the Corps. January 2016. So shit, I think it's been about 10 years, I think, since we've seen Relic.
All right. Well, yep. We shall see as the story continues. Maybe Happy will show up and do something.
he would be sad sack happy now. Like, hey brother, can you spare a dime? Happy. That's what he would be now. Like, I don't feel shit.
It would just be funny amongst all the emotional entities if there was also one tiny little axolotl, just a little speck in it. When we get the big scene of all the entities busting out of the source wall and people riding them and stuff, it'd be funny to just see a tiny little axolotl among the massive entities. If you look close enough, if you zoom in on this panel, he's right there by Parallax's knee.
we need a grumpy entity. And again, poor Atrocitus gets screwed. So I guess we have to assume if someone's going to be channeling rage, which is stupid, I guess it's going to be Sinestro. You could make a case it would be Guy, but I think they've been talking up Sinestro so much, and even again tying back into the rage. You would probably think, I would say it's probably going to be Sinestro, because we know based on the cover solicit, it looks like Hal's going to be with Parallax.
I'd be happy if it was Guy.
I would like it to be Guy too, but I don't.
All right, guys. Well, obviously the story continues in Green Lantern 26, but in the meantime, what else we got?
All right. So before we go off on anything else, let's do the talk about Green Lantern sales ever so briefly. I noticed that they came out today, so it is timely. There is no absolute Green Lantern, as we kind of discussed, because two issues showed up in the last month's chart. So the one we just talked about will be waiting a month. That'll be real curious to see. But generally speaking, the absolute books still continue to sell well. Absolute Batman, Absolute Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Martian Manhunter are all top 10 books. So that by itself is good. That's why I'll be really curious to see if what Green Lamp, what Absolute number 5 does when those sales come out. Now, looking at the Green Lantern sales, now Green Lantern 25 moved from 144 all the way up to 86, which is high. One of the highest it's been in a while. I think since Green Lantern 18. And Green Lantern Core moved from 147 all the way up to 100, which is still a big jump. Now, it's still a lousy spot, but still a big jump. You have to suspect some of this is related to the beginning of the, I guess the ending of the whatchamacallit, the Fractured Spectrum, and beginning of the Starbreaker Supremacy. You have to think that's probably a little bit of the boost there. We'll see. So we'll have to see if that lasts as the issue we talk about today comes and next week. Green Lantern, or whenever, Green Lantern 26. When we talk about those books, to see if the momentum continues or whether once again it was a one-time thing. Still good. I mean, if you got to take the victories where you can get them, and the fact that both these books definitely improved dramatically, especially Green Lantern 25 almost assuredly got the boost because that was the first part of the Supremacy. So people probably were more willing to roll the dice on that.
It also got the boost just because of it being a
25.
Yeah, 25, because yeah. Zeros, ones, 25s, 50s, yeah. 100s, those usually. Plus, I think they build it as some sort of a extra size or anniversary or something anyways.
So. Yeah, so that one, yeah, and I suspect that was the case, and Green Lantern Corps 6 might have moved up a little bit just because of the fact it was wrapping up the... It was technically wrapping up the other arc or whatever, but we'll see. Or knocking on the door to transition us from one to the other, but we'll see. It could, maybe it is a trend, but the track record hasn't been good. But that's pretty much it for sales. What have I seen? The only thing that I've seen last week, we saw the remake of Witchboard, which I hadn't seen the original Witchboard, which I now have because it's on Tubi. And objectively, I can say both pretty much suck. So it's kind of hard to pick which one sucks more. I guess I will give the new one credit, for better or for worse, for having a much more elaborate plot, I would say, than the original. The original is pretty bad. You know, the only thing the original really has going for it is Tawny Katane, who actually is naked in that movie. I didn't think she actually was naked in anything for some reason. I thought she was not one of those whoever. But there's a shower scene, and yeah, she's actually at least not like – it's not blatant, but it's definitely there. So – I wouldn't recommend either Witchboards, but that was the only thing that I saw, and not seeing anything this week. And the next week will be Jaws, Actually, we'll be seeing Jaws when it comes out next week in 3D. I've never seen Jaws in 3D, which I'm sure the 3D will suck because everything, you know, retro 3D, none of that's good. But I love Jaws, so I'll roll the dice on seeing it in the theater for the anniversary. And that's all I got, Chad.
All right. Couple things. Justice League Red came out today as we record this. This is Red Tornado's covert strike team to deal with some things. I read the first issue already. The team is supposed to be obviously, you know, sent on missions by Red Tornado, but is Red Canary, which we got introduced to in Dark Crisis, Dead Man, which is why I'm paying attention, Cyborg, Power Girl, and Simon Baz, Green Lantern. We actually only see Power Girl and Green Lantern here. They're the first ones that Red Tornado calls to start going on these missions. I'm still waiting on my Dead Man. But it's okay so far. It's very much a setup issue, very much a you're not going to know if you want this. I mean, obviously some people will probably have an instinct, but you're probably not going to know if you want to pick this up until at least issue two. But it's okay. It's not the greatest yet, but that's okay. Also, today in the mail, I got my Nightwing Omnibus, but also in the same order, my Red Lantern's New 52 Omnibus, which looks fantastic. Have you seen this thing before, Mark? Like a good review on it?
No.
If you take off the slipcase, the whole thing is that page of that panel, rather, of Dexstar. Where he's like leaping towards the reader and he's like hissing and there's blood all around him or whatever. Dexstar's most famous panel, I think. That the whole hardcover itself, back to front, side spine, is just that image.
Yeah, that is good.
So I'm excited to sit down with my like book stand and read those because as you can imagine, it's a pretty hefty omnibus. No one's going to be holding that up in bed at night. Could you imagine you know how you accidentally drop your phone on your face if you're falling asleep at night in the bed? Imagine dropping the New 52 Omnibus.
Yeah, that's definitely not good at all.
So only gonna read that one with a book stand. The last thing I'll say is Ralph over at Lanterns Live had me on his show recently he does fan spotlights. He does them on video, so I don't know if Mark will ever want to do that or not. He did one with Will from Lanterns Podcast and a Green Lanterns Podcast, and he did a second one with me. He's just spotlighting people in the content creation space, in the fan space, who dedicate time to Green Lantern stuff. So that was fun. So just check out Lanterns Live if you're curious. Those are just real quick things. The thing I really wanted to get to, however, is the solicit that recently came out specifically for Green Lantern Corps number 10. Spoilers, if you don't want to know about the upcoming stuff with Starbreaker Supremacy. Chad, why are you giving a spoiler warning on a solicit? Because there's spoilers in the solicits again, and it's pissing me the fuck off. Okay, spoiler warning. In the aftermath of the Starbreaker Supremacy, Oa shines brighter than ever as home to the entire emotional spectrum. But the shared planet, a patchwork of lantern territories, is rife with conflict as everyone adjusts to the new status quo. Sounds like Mosaic, but whatever. The newest lanterns, including Kelly, Vexaru, Aya, and Narf, go through Kilowog's Core Academy while veteran teams search for the escaped science cell prisoners. Expect the shocking return of a few legendary faces. Okay, so apparently people will be breaking out of the science cells. Apparently, this one is kind of reading between the lines. Kelly's probably getting a ring. And when this is all restored and our good guys win, which you could consider a spoiler, but I'm not going to because we know the good guys always win and the situation always gets resolved. Other than the emotional spectrum being back, all the lanterns that we saw built will be staying on Oa, as will all the cores behind them. So it's going to be all run off of Oa. Why there's this many spoilers in a simple solicit is baffling to me. This is worse than when they told us that Mogo was going red, and then treated the actual reveal in the comics as a final page turn reveal, as if it was supposed to mean something. This is even worse than that. And I'm starting to get pissed at whoever the fuck does this solicits, because this is dumb. I don't know if it's the writer. I don't know if it's the group editor. I don't know who does what, but it's stupid. What else should it say? It could. I had a long rant about this on Twitter, so I will only read this particular part of that. It could say, in the aftermath of the Starbreaker supremacy, Oa shines brighter than ever, but tensions between the various corps are high as the emotional spectrum settles into a new status quo. Our newest allies, Kelly, Vexaru, Aya, and Narf, finally begin their official training with Kilowog as the veteran lanterns work to restore peace and order to the universe. You don't have to say shit about escaped Cyan Cell prisoners. Now, is that perfect? No, I didn't run it through editorial. But given all the spoilers and the solicits recently, I don't think DC did either.
Yeah, these solicits kind of remind me of who was doing the trailers for Marvel back when Chapek was running the ship, because that's when Feige had less control over content and trailers, and that's when he was making those subtle digs about, I think we're showing too much, and it's like, okay, but you're in charge, so why are you showing? But well, we found out that he didn't have the same autonomy to decide what was going to be in trailers that he did under Iger. That he did when Chapek took over. That's thus his comment, like when Multiverse of Madness came out, which was correct, because other than like one character non-reveal, we knew everybody in the multiverse that we were going to see in the friggin' movie via the trailers. So it's kind of like that. It's like the logic is they think that's going to amp up interest in people wanting to buy the book ahead of time, even though the difference is if you're reading the book now. Eventually, by the time you get to the issue before that, you're going to know that's the status quo. So if it interests you, then you'll buy the next issue. it's weirder with comics, because if it's a new book, you can understand trying to drum up interest and appeal months in advance, so people will remember, oh, this book is coming out. If it's an ongoing, and it's, you know, unless it's something super, super unique, like an anniversary issue or something, or hinting at, oh, the standard, even though we know it's standard BS, it changes the status quo forever. If it's just something like this, in all honesty, they could have even kept the new lanterns if they just had to leave Kelly out of it. They just should have left the fact that, in all honesty, you can make a strong case that if they just left Kelly out of it, that wasn't even a spoiler, because we've already seen these. I mean, other than Aya, maybe. Aya, I guess, would be a spoiler too. So, but even with your description, if you just kept Kelly out of it, then it really, everything still works. But because, again, we're just working under the base assumption that, which would be a positive, that she's going to lose the gauntlet and she's going to get the ring, because that's the only thing that makes sense. That the only thing that would be new about Kelly would be the fact that she has to have a Green Lantern ring, as opposed to how she's been operating with the gauntlet. So we'll see. Yeah, I agree, though. I think it's, It does give away unnecessarily too much, especially because we're so early into the story.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It's like, yeah, I mean, you kind of assumed all along that the batteries were all going to be up and running again, and things like that. But you didn't need to know. And besides, another thing this reminds me of, which we know how well that ended. It reminds me of Robert Venditti's Fractured, when we had the ever so brief truce between the yellows and the greens before John Stewart sabotaged their power battery, which you would think would be an ongoing issue for any Yellow Lantern that was a Yellow Lantern before. It's like, how can we trust these efforts because of what they did to our power battery the last time? Even though, obviously, I guess the key is you just keep building new power batteries, which they had to do anyway. And But the point is, there's no, there's nothing that says, because we know the Green Lanterns technically were the ones who rebuilt all of these batteries, that they all aren't somewhat, there's not an emergency failsafe where they can pull the plug, just like what John Stewart kind of did with the yellows.
Yeah. You would hope not, especially due to what they've now known becomes a problem when the, when certain emotions get taken offline.
Yeah, I mean, I would, the, I would
spectrum
agree.
Spectrum needs stability, obviously. Yeah, so destroying lanterns shouldn't be in anybody's game plan anymore.
Yeah, I would, I would agree with you, because a lot be, because the argument would be back in the old days when there was only, when there was only really the Green Lantern, since that is in the center of the spectrum, that things were still in balance. It's just when all these other parts started coming online, then you kind of made it out of balance. And when they all came back online, it was still in balance. I would agree with you, but I'm saying, simply put, if there's any yellows, and let's say Arkillo, if we ever goddamn get an Arkillo sighting, if Arkillo's a Yellow Lantern again, among others, he probably isn't going to be too happy about how, about, well, can we, yeah, the power battery is back, but how much can we really trust them? Because the last time we tried working with them, they sabotaged, they had a built-in failsafe in the power battery to screw us when they needed it to screw us. So it didn't have to necessarily really be, it has to blow up. It just has to be, well, hey, yeah, we have that built-in failsafe. It's like, they can't, when push comes to shove, they can't use any of their powers against us, against the, anybody who's green. So we'll see. But it does open that possibility, because we've been down that road. We've been down that boat, down that road before. On one level, you think it makes them stronger, but another level, I think it makes an even, puts an even bigger target on Oa's head, because all you have to do is take out Oa, you take out the entire emotional spectrum.
Yeah, it's true.
That'd be a good time to move that central power battery, the green one, back to Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I have a good idea. It's like that episode of MASH when Frank figures out the M in MASH for his mobile. So he makes him move across the street just to move back the next day. That's what this is like. Now everybody tells Jade Stone, hey, guess what? We're moving back to Earth.
See, you brought it up. Now it still bothers me all this time later. The idea of the hidden power battery, the idea of tying it into Millennium, which, you know, nobody cared about, but Jim Ford, if you're listening, I think you did. The idea of tying it back, and the idea of it being protected by the green, that was just so interesting, only for him to just turn around and be like, oh yeah, the secret thing. Well, we need a battery. Here's one. Bam. Let's get, you know, just,
I agree.
There's so much potential there. I don't like that we revealed that secret. We should have kept that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we don't know about the what's the deal with the ring foundries? I mean, are they just making rings at will now? Or they still have that same ad hoc little thing that was making six rings at a time? And what are they going to do? And speaking of which, what, it's like, how are they going to start ramping up ring production for all the other cores? Salek, this is your job.
Yeah, it's true too. Like, if it takes those different elements, the source, and then those crystals from Gem World and all these other things, then what does it take to make a ring? Do we need more materials?
I never thought about the
materials needed to make a ring.
Probably not. We've seen that. Only because we've seen this come and go so many times. But then again, we've seen Oa come and go so many times that you would make a case that it shouldn't be that hard making a central power battery either. Why this time is it so hard making central power batteries when clearly it hasn't been?
That's true.
You know? Clearly, yeah. up until now, making central power batteries seemed to be like chump change. You could do it anytime you wanted to. Only in this arc, under this run, was somehow making a central power battery really, 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 really difficult.
I guess because the Guardians were around to know how to do it.
Because
the Guardians maybe are here, but they don't, quote unquote, don't know.
Yeah, but that still doesn't explain. It doesn't really explain why the Sinestro core battery was able to be rebuilt so many times. Doesn't even replace necessarily. I mean, we know it's all built technically on Owen tech, but still, if Atrocitus knew how to build a central power battery to begin with one way, he should be able to do it again.
Yeah. But also, didn't all the other cores have sort of their own guardian? Because there was Natromo for them, then the Blue Lantern was Ganthet and Sade.
Missing in action, Ganthodon said.
Yeah, you. Well, the controllers were after the Orange power battery. Did they ever say in Agent Orange when they were after his battery if they had any association with it before? Do you remember?
No, I think they were just. I think they were just going. They sensed the power, and they were just going after the power, thinking, "Hey, this is our chance once again to finally be able to. We can finally have our real core."
That one's tricky, though, because it was technically just a power battery, not a central one, but it was the only one. So it's technically also the central one. Yeah. The Zamrons obviously made theirs. The Quardians made the Yellow Lantern one. So I guess Red is the only real outlier. Yeah.
But still, you would think so. You think that information would be passed on to somebody?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, either way, let's forget about the instructions. This storyline made it seem like getting the raw materials was pretty difficult. Yeah. That's the part that should be the big problem, because if it was that difficult, then these batteries shouldn't have been able to be built constantly.
It reminds me. Do you ever watch How I Met Your Mother?
No.
There was an episode of How I Met Your Mother where Marshall is talking about how he has to, quote unquote, read a magazine in his friend's apartment as opposed to at work. And that read a magazine is code for take a shit at work. So like you're bringing a magazine with you to work and that as you walk through the halls towards the bathroom. So everybody knows you're about to take a shit. And he was uncomfortable with that. So like, you know, that's why he was doing it out of the office. But he like finally got over that anxiety or whatever. And he goes into Barney's office and he's like, man, I read a magazine, quote unquote, read a magazine at work today. And he's like, good, man. Oh, great. You know? And then like, as he's walking out the door, Barney goes, oh, and by the way, if you ever need it, I got a private bathroom right here. Yeah. I imagine the Guardians are going to get their memory back. And then they're just going to open a pocket universe and be like, oh yeah, like we got a whole stash of that shit right here. Why'd you go to Gem World?
yeah. The whole Gem World thing is something we could have avoided. Besides, like the jailbait princess, which automatically brings back memories of Arisia back in the days that shall not be mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't. There's so much of this that I'm hoping this. Well, I can hope all I want about getting this some kind of feeling good about the story when it ends. I don't have a lot of confidence that's going to happen, but we'll see. I mean, if we get the entities back, that's going to be at least a plus. That'll be something that at the very least we'll say, hey, Jeremy gave us the entities back. And if we get an explanation again, for why the entities don't, what they did and or why they don't need to stay, that would be nice. That would be also nice. So yeah, we'll see. But there's just a lot of head scratching things in this issue. And again, it's like if it's the benefit of the doubt thing, it's like the boy who cried wolf. It's like after a while, yeah, maybe you have a plan and maybe this was your plan all along. But if your history says, well, you don't, there's stuff that goes on that doesn't get explained until arguably everybody's talking about the fact that, well, this doesn't make sense or it contradicts or it's never been explained. And then you explain it. Yeah, maybe that was your master plan. But you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt after a while. It's like, well, it's maybe you're just doing it again because of the lampshading thing. Or you have to because, oh, now enough people, including us, we've realized there's a problem. We kind of wrote ourselves into a corner here. Now we have to at least acknowledge it ever so briefly and move on. Now, I think some of the stuff he probably was planning from the beginning, the stuff like with, oh, the Predator thing and the Sinestro rage thing, which is still weird. You think it would be fear that Sinestro, which – but either way – the stuff with the AI and John's ring is that's just a head scratcher. You didn't have to delve into it much, but it should have been goddamn acknowledged right out. That's the whole point of the Civil Corps special was really merging those two books into one and setting the stage for the end of the original horrible overdrawn Derlin United Planets arc. And that was the one thing he completely glossed over. Not even mentioned at all in any of these books up until now. And now the AI is taking the bull by the horns and leading us.
Yeah. That's all I got, though.
Yeah, that's all I got, too.
All right. Well, if people want to reach out to us, what do they do?
Lanterncast@gmail.com. The website is lanterncast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook. Use GLcast to track us down. Hashtag GLcast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean. Wherever you listen to us, please leave us a positive review. And as Chad mentioned last week, reach out to us, email us, let us know that you've left us a review somewhere, because we would appreciate knowing that. Last but not least, if you'd like to leave us a text or a voicemail, 708-LANTERN, and let us know what you think.
All right, guys. Good night, everybody.
Good night.